in contemporary theater, well, it stings against politics, for example, against the dwelling policies that were implemented in that time, were very indirect and very blurred, and that's why the piece was not seen as harmful for the central institution. So if we move on to the 60s, from 1965, Dušan Jovanović, the leading figure of the second wave of theater experiment, invaded the theater the theater space also with contemporary sensitivity and issues, and was very loud in signaling that the changing role of theater performance. So many theater groups without permanent stages were very much depending on the goodwill of individual institutions who temporarily let them use their stages. So, for example, Ivanovich's student contemporary theater in 65 had its first premiere in the municipal theater Ljubljana, again led at that time by Lojze Filipić, who shifted from the central drama to the municipal theater in the meantime. But of course, this staging was renounced hospitality immediately after the premiere, and later took the stage of the old Casino Hall in Kongresni Trg. The continuity of events went very fast, because approaching the end of the 60s, Jovanović established the theater of Popilja Ferkeverk. Ivo Svetina mentioned it before. Perhaps it's interesting that after the onstage killing of a hen in Popilja, Papa Popilo and the Popilčeks, it's quite anthological performance, the theater was denounced to the hospitality of Viteška Dvorana once again. But it moved to the student campus in Rožna Dolina, only to find there an audience which was multiplied. So, this was understandable, since we have to remember that the University of Ljubljana in the 60s was a rare example in Yugoslavia not to have so without its own student theater. Part of the river, we have groups whose building the relation with public was tied to an own theater space. And a part of theater in the round, as the initial stage concept of the experimental theater by Baranović, we can deal with the ritualistic approach of the standout theater laboratory, the Karna Bakery, 16 years later, so from 72 to 77, both theaters stood for something different, for the theater space of their own, so the need for one's own space was a conceptual part of their practice, the need to factually fix the space where the theater group resides and works and evolves. This had nothing in common with the servicing principle of Viteška Dvorana, as Draga Ahačić critically put it in that time. So, in 1972, Lado Kral came back from New York and decided to fund Pekarna Theater in the former city quarter bakery at Tržaška 15, in a rather dislocated place at the margin of Ljubljana of that time. But this location can also be seen as a deliberately chosen dislocation. So the place soon showed too small and functionally weak for the demands of Pekarna's activity. The applied spatial arrangement and the ritualistic approach in the first and most genuine phase of Pekarna, especially in its first performance, The Pathwalker, drew from the similar striving for a new and closer actor-spectator relationship as theater in the round. I'm going to show some photos. Interesting to see.
На виспі.
All the photos are not of high quality, but it's nevertheless interesting to see in what way it proceeded. At the same time, so Pekarna, after Krale returned from New York, traditional theater never borrowed a thing from Pekarna. But Pekarna took a great deal after the practices and values of the New York avant-garde. From the performing garage, and especially Richard Chechner, who was their leader. Most of all, it was not bound solely to the rational mind and to the shifting of conventional drama. So its use of drama material was very different, and in that time it was also blasphemic for those critics who somehow wanted to retain the sacrosanct status of drama. So Pekarna had no real wish of becoming a movement. The members were too differentiated and not united enough. That is why the collectivist feel was absent and produced permanency only to some extent. This is why Pekarna's attitude to theater space in this phase was comparatively loose and soon faced its limited resources. So to make the thing shorter, not to tire you out too much, I mentioned Draga Ahačić already, and we have here really the case of Ad Hoc, because in the line of people who also tried to conceptualize a new and their own theater space, but were not successful in that. So Draga Ahačić, the head of Ad Hoc Theater, in 64 proposed a plan for a basement theater. This is mostly forgotten, but it's very interesting, even though it's all said in a whole number of her books. This basement theater followed the model of the German cellar theaters after the Second World War, and the basement theater would be built in the domains of Mestni Trg 17. It's interesting that the Slovene Theater Museum is situated right there today. But again, allegedly out of financial reasons, the architectonically accomplished adaptation plan that would provide Ad Hoc with the possibility of the scarcest possible settled working place, as they said, was not realized, even though Ahačić commented that the servicing principle of Viteška Dvorana is a warning example of how culture is not supposed to be managed. So that every serious experimental group should have and should work in its own place. This is a thing for debate, of course. But the reason for this turning down of Ahačić perhaps had something to do with the establishment of the parallel stage in the central institution, which was established right in the same year of 64, and was which was taking after Odres 57 a great deal, and which slowly, and this was the reason why small drama, as it is named still today, slowly merged the affinity for experiment and its potential with the creative tactics of the Central National Repertory Theater. Because from the perspective of today, arts as such continually came to be understood as the field of experiment. The notion of the experiment as an incubator for certain cultural values got integrated into the society and culture. So the implications from the sphere of culture, by all means, gradually, permeated and defined the state of society as well. It's interesting that with such an intensive activity in experimental domain, The experimental activities of Pekarna and of the experimental theater Glei, this was in the 70s. So in the 75 already lost some specific difference from the prevailing context of state theaters. Since they were producing equally strong results, this was also observed by the critics at that time, by Andrei Inkert, for example, and the others as well. Because these results were backed by the same professionally skilled actors and directors. This, in fact, started to present a problem, since the experiment from this point on couldn't justify itself on solely on the departure from the prevailing theater context. The convention and the experiment came too close and became too equal. So experimental closeness to the traditional approach and it's relying on fixed, so to say, safe artistic models, was also inclined towards renouncing on immediate innovation. And this seems perhaps to pose a direct question to us also in 2009. What is the fully entitled theater experiment today? Perhaps this is only to show that every act of good theater today is of experimental kind, of a specific experimental kind. It is about theater which does not strive for intellectual simplifications or the mass consumption. As Patrice Pavie utters, every ambitious theater is well aware of the fact that it needs to be experimental or it will simply fade out. I hope that I'm not tiring you already. Can you?
Not at all.
Not at all. It's interesting enough. I don't have a long way to go. The social climate of the time in the 60s didn't favor artistic experiments as such, while the avant-garde was held for a politically malicious activity. But in this respect, architecture and urbanism are by all means showed as privileged spheres in governing a city. But the closer analysis shows that the regime was relatively firm in deciding about the suitability of particular authors and works, but on the other hand functioned in a rather disorganized way. Namely, similar to the censorship in cases of a few scandalous theater performances in the 50s and 60s, I mentioned some, the case with Ionesco previously, or Topla Greda, as Ivo mentioned even earlier. An equally disorganized nature of urbanistic decisions can be spotted in the concept of structuring spaces for theater experiment. So that is to say that the well-conceived urbanistic utopia has, after the appointment of Vitezska Dvorana in 56, not really been the principle of determining the spaces for theater experiment in Ljubljana. Most importantly, creativity outside of institutions after 56 was also taking place without much consideration of the spatial conditions for its own structuring. Unlike the situation of experimental theater makers today, the urgent and necessary condition for its creativity was the independence of its artistic doing. So this was its conditio sine qua non. While the need for space was inherently present, but not discussed as a lag beyond reach. This is also why we cannot speak of specified theoretical concepts to the issue of space at that time. However, the space of theater, on the other hand, the space of theater spectacle has in the same way not been an issue of a singular theatrical treatise by Edward Gordon Craig, even though his scenographic and directorial practice clearly show that the problem of theater space was in the center of his interest. So, therefore, the lack of clear-cut theoretical concepts to the issue of space may not necessarily be taken for a problematic point of a Slovene experimental theater. But what the results of the original experimenting, meaning here the theater in the round, can be felt in the Slovene theater environment today? So do they articulate the current theater image at all? One answer can be offered by this year's winner of the Slovene National Theater Festival, the staging of Heiner Müller's Macbeth after Shakespeare, because this performative organism follows exactly the concept of the theater in the round that has otherwise not been admitted much merit in Slovenia and which exists in the USA after it was first tried out in 1947 at colleges and in many community theaters with arena configuration all around the USA. The closer intimacy of the production, requiring no stage curtain, little scenery and audience sitting on all sides of the stage, engulfs the spectators that are in the direct view of each other. But, which you for sure know, huh? What you for sure. And the last point of potential discussion afterwards, at the same time, to close up with another typical symptom, the turbulent 60s brought another radical change, which was tied to financial relations with collaborators. While preparing experimental theater was usually gratuitous, so without charge by the collaborators, this fact was not debatable. Pekarna faced a change in a relatively abrupt manner. While the first two performances in 72, The Pathwalker and Gilgamesh, didn't pay the performance, the third performance, I'm at to Scatter You with Leaves in 73, was the first time that both actresses were paid. As you see, only two actresses were present, so we can really see how quickly the Pekarna evolved from this mass presence of performers in the ritualistic approach. This can tell you a bit more. And you see the quality of the photos is really not the best, but it tells quite something. And this is these are the doors of the building which today doesn't exist anymore. The doors of Tržaška 15. This is from the back, and now I think, the best photo is hiding. This is in PDF, I hope. Here, this is somehow the end scene when Potohodec dies, the Pathwalker dies. So this was only this mentioning of the financial conditions was only to show that the time of a certain tenderness was over. And thank you.